Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Yotes, and we will begin the first words of the Amud. The Mishnah had taught us that during the 7 days before Yom Kippur, that the Kohen Gadol was sequestered, he was in the Beis Aftinas, Tana. So we learned in a Braisa, why was he in the Beis Aftinas? Lalamda Chafina, because that's where he learned the Avoida of what to do with the Ketairis. As we have discussed and will discuss in Mitzvah Shem, the avoid of the Ketairis was a very difficult avoida, and the Kohen Gadol had to be trained in this avoida. And since Aftinas was the one that produced the Ketairis, that was where he was taught this avoida. The Sfasemis points out, if he only was using the Ketairis to practice, how may he do so? Ketairis is Kodesh. So he gives two answers. Either he says that the Ketairis which the Kohen Gadol practiced was Pasul Ketairis, or another Ketairis that he gives is that because he needed to learn how to do this Avoida, there was no choice but to use the Ketairis for this purpose, and it's not considered as if he's Chas V'Shalom wasting the Ketairis. Amra Papa. The Kohen Gadol had two chambers. Achas Lishkas Pahedrin, one was the Lishkas Pahedrin where he slept. Achas Lishkas Beis Aftinas, the Beis Aftinas chamber where he learned Avoida, as we just explained. Achas B'tzofoin, Achas B'dorim. One of these chambers was on the north side of the Azara, and one was on the south side of the Azara. How do we know? Achas B'tzofoin, we know one was on the north side of Tanan. As we learned in the Mishnah, Masechta Midos. Sheish Lishkos Hayu Bazara. There were six chambers in the Azara. Sholos Betzofim Vesholos Bedorim. Three on the north side and three on the south side. Shebedorim are the Lishkos HaMelech, the salt chamber, Lishkos HaParva, Lishkos HaMadichim. Lishkos HaMelech, what was the Lishkos HaMelech? Shesham Hayu Noisnim Melech LeKarbon. That's where the salt for the Kabbonis was left. Lishkos HaParva, this is Shom HaYimolchim Oiris Kotchim. That's where they actually salted the hides of Kotchim. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Melech was kept, the salt was kept in the Lishkas HaMelech, but the actual Melicha took place in the Lishkas HaParv. The Brisker Rav discusses the Shaila, how could the Kohanim use the salt to salt the Kabbonis? Isn't the hides of the Kabbonis, which belong to the Kohanim, the salt being Kodesh, how could it be used for the Kohen's private purposes of salting the hides that he owned? So the Merame saw the answers that indeed the Mishnah here means that the salt was used only when they were Magdish the Iris, that if the Kohanim received Iris from the Kabbonis, then at times they were magdish those iris, that's when the salt could be used. Otherwise the salt may not be used. However, the Brisker Rav says, as we have already learned, one of the conditions Bezdin made was the salt was allowed to be used for the Kohanim to salt the meat that they received, that they had to eat in the Azara. In that condition is also included that the iris, the hides that they received, may be salted with the salt of Hegdish. Valgaga, on the roof of the Beis HaParva, was a Beis Tefillah, was a mikveh, the Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, where the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. The Mefarshim ask that we know that the halach is the gagin valiyos loyneskatshu, that the areas, the roof tops and the tops of buildings in the Beis HaMikdash complex were not niskadish. So if that's the case, how could we build the mikveh on the roof of the Beis HaParva when the mikveh had to be in a makom kodesh? So there are a number of answers. One answer is that although normally the gagos were loy niskadshu, this gag was niskadish because they knew they were going to make the mikveh there. Another teretz is that the gagos which were not niskadish are only the gagos that were in place when the Beis Hamikdash was built at the first. At that point, you can't have the gargoyles being the Skadish. The gargoyles were not the Skadish. But chambers that were built later, the gargoyles of those chambers were in the Skadish. And the Beis Parva was built later. Another pshat is that this building, although it was a separate building, was built underground, and the roof of the Beis Parva was on the same level as the Azara. So it wasn't considered a Gag, it's considered like the Azara. Lishkas HaMadichim, the area where things were washed, Shesham HaYimadichim Kirvei Kotchim. Over there they rinsed the intestines of the Karbonis. So Tosfos points out that we learned in Daf Tes Zayin that there were Shulchanos, tables in the Azara where they washed the animals that were Geshochten. And here it says there was a chamber. So Tosfos answers that in the chamber they washed the intestines, which were particularly dirty, so they needed to be washed in this chamber. In the Shulchanos, the meat of the Karbonos were washed. Umisham, and from the Lishkas Medichim, there was a Mesiba, there was a staircase, Oyle Lagag Beis Parva, which the Kohen went up to go to Beis Parva. And the Tosfos Yontov points out that actually there were two entrances to the Lishkas Beis Medichim. One was the entrance to where you walked in to wash the animal, the intestines, that we just explained. And that entrance, and then there was another entrance which the Kohen used to go up to the mikveh. We didn't have him go up the entrance, which was all dirty. Shal Shvatzofen, there were three chambers on the north side, Lishkas Ha'etz, Lishkas Ha'goyla, and Lishkas Ha'gozes. Lishkas Ha'etz, what's the chamber of wood? Omer Abelezer ben Yaakov, Shechachti Ma Ha'isa Meshameshes. I forgot what the purpose of this chamber was. Abishol Omer, Abishol says, Lishkas Kohen Gadol. It was the chamber of the Kohen Gadol. And the Mefarshim point out, why was the chamber of the Kohen Gadol specifically made out of wood, whereas everything else in the Beis Hamikdash was generally made out of stone and marble? Again, because we did not want the Kohen Gadol to become arrogant that he had such a lofty position, so he specifically made his chamber out of wood, a very cheap material. Lishkas Kohen Gadol, Avishalim Lishkas Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's chamber, Hoysa Achorei Shteihem. It was behind the other two chambers, behind the Lishkas HaGoyla and the Lishkas HaGozes, the Gag Shlosh and Shovav, and all the roof of all of these three chambers was the same height. Lishkas HaGoyla, Shesham HaYibor HaGoyla. That's where the well of the people from Golis, the people from outside of Tisrael, was located. For Galgal Nosanolov, and there was a wheel by this well, Mesham Maspik and Mayim L'chal Azara, and from there they had water for the entire Azara. So most Mepharshim say it's called Lishkas HaGoyla, because the well that was donated by the people from the Golis was in that chamber. Another pshat is Goyla means like a basin, and they used to have the basin of water came from the, that they filled up was located over there. Another pshat on Lishkas HaGoyla, Goyla means a pulley. And like we just learned, there was a wheel, pulley system to pull up water from this well, so it's called Lishkas HaGoyla. Lishkas HaGozes, Sham Hayu Sanhedrin Shal Yisrael Yoishvis, that's where the Sanhedrin of Klal Yisrael sat, Vedonas HaKahanim, and would judge the Kahanim. Misha Nimsa B'Psul, any kohen who was found disqualified with his Yichus, Hayloi V'Shchayrim, Mas'atav Shchayrim, would put on black clothing and a black hat, V'Yoitz V'Halachlan would leave. V'Shalai Nimsa B'Psul, but a kohen in which there was no disqualification, Hayloi V'Shlevenim, Mas'atav Levenim, would put on white sinus and put on a white mibas, a white hat, for nichnas umishamish emefa kahanim, and he would go serve together with his brother the kahanim. The first should point out that once a kohen was established that he had fine yichus, that remained forever unless something that would raise our concern that he was disqualified came up later. The Mefarshim further say that even a kohen who's a balmum, who has a blemish, who's not allowed to do the avoda, still would wear a white begodim, because his disqualification is not an inherent disqualification. It's only a problem of Baal Mum. And we learned that the Baal Mum did certain jobs, used to clean the wood, and also took a share in the Kabbonis. Whereas somebody who had a Psoichus, who was disqualified because of his lineage, could not participate in anything that Kohanim received. We just learned that the room where the Sanhedrin stayed was called the Lishkas HaGozes. Why was it called Gozes? Because usually stone that was made for the Mizbeach was not allowed to be carved or cut. However, the stone that was used to build the Lishkas HaGozes, where the Sanhedrin sat, was made out of carved stone, albeit the Mefarshim say the carving was not allowed to be not allowed to take place in the Azara, because metal utensils, metal instruments were not allowed to be used in the Azara, so they carved out the stone outside and brought it in. The reason being to show how important the Sanhedrin was, and that's why their room was made out of a very choshev, very significant material. Nopshad is gozes means to cut, to separate. As we just learned, one of the Sanhedrin's job was to separate the disqualified Kahanim from all other Kahanim. That's why it's called Leshkas HaGozes. Achas B'Dorim, Rapapa continues, there was one chamber in the Dorim side, the Tanan. Shivish Arim Hoy Bazara. There were seven gates in the Azara. Shalos B'Tzofen, Shalos B'Dorim, three on the north side, three on the south side, Fachad B'Mizrach, one on the east side. Shibidorim, on the south side, was the Shar Hadleika, the fire gate. It's interesting, Rashi says he doesn't know why it's called the Shar Hadleika. However, the Rosh explains that it's called Shar Hadleika because that's where the wood was brought in for the Mizbeach. Other Rishonim say that's where, if they needed fire on the Mizbeach, fire was brought through that gate. Sheniloi, the next gate was the Shar HaKarbon. Again, Rashi says he doesn't know why it's called Shar HaKarbon, but the Rishonim explain three different answers. One is that that was the gate through which the Kodesh, the animals that were going to be a carbon oil were brought, because animals which are Kodesh HaKadoshim have to be shachten, have to be slaughtered on the north side, so there was a gate on the north side. Another pshat, Shar HaKarbon, that was the gate through which, that was the space through which Avraham brought Yitzchak to the Akedah. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says it should not be called Shar HaKarbonis, says it should not be called Shar HaKarbonis, but rather Shar B'Chayris, because B'Chayris are a very unique carbon. It's the only carbon that the Kohen receives the animal when the animal is still alive. So since it had this unique characteristic, it had its own gate. Shlishiloi, the next gate was the Shar HaMayim, the gate through which they brought the water for the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. V'shtei L'shkos HaYisham, and there were two chambers on the Shevamizrach, I'm sorry, on the east side was the Shar Nitner, we spoke about that. V'shtei L'shkos HaYisham, there were two chambers, Achas V'mina V'achas V'smoyle, one on the right side of this chamber and one on the left side of this gate. Achas Lishkas Pinchas HaMalabish, one was the chamber of Pinchas who put on the clothing. So the Mefarshim explain that the Kahanim, when a Kohen began his Avodah for the first time, so he had to receive Big Day Kahuna. Furthermore, even after he was already serving as a Kohen, his Begodim, his clothing might have gotten worn out, they might not fit him anymore, so there was a special chamber which was under the control of Pinchas HaMelabesh, where clothing for the Kohanim were prepared. Then there was another chamber, then the clothing that the Kohanim always used, and they got undressed and dressed, those clothing, the lockers for those clothing were in the Lishkas HaGozes. Vachas, and the other chamber on the east side, on one of the sides of the Shah Nikner, was the Lishkas Oisei Chavitim, the Lishkan every day, the Kohen Gadol had to bring a Michas Chavitim, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, a mincha that was fried in a pan with oil, and that was where this mincha was prepared. Shevet Tzofen, on the north side, there was the Shah Nitzitz, it was the gateway of Rei, Why is it called the gateway of sun rays? Because binyan echsadra haya, it was structured like a pavilion, three sides of wall and one side open. So since there was an open side, the sun was able to shine strongly through the open side, and that's why it's called the gate of the sun rays. Veliya benuya gabav, and there was an upper story built on top of it. Tasham kahanim shomer mamala ulevim lamata. They had kahanim guard that area. The kahanim were on top, and the levim were on bottom. And as we have learned, the halacha is there's a mitzvah say that the Beis Hamikdash should have shomerim. It should have guards. There's a machlokes what the purpose was. Is the purpose is because it shows honor to the Beis Hamikdash that it has an honor guard, or because to prevent people who are tamei or other people who are not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash from going in there? So they had 24 places where guards were stationed. And the Gemara is teaching us now, the Mishnah is teaching us now, that in this spot, on the top, on upper story, Kahanim were the gods, and on the lower story, Levium were the gods. It's interesting to note that the Avnei Nezer already has a tshuva discussing if nowadays, when we unfortunately do not have a Beis HaMikdash, is there still a halacha that the Beis HaMikdash should have gods? And he says that even if we don't want to get into the discussion of Kitch Rishon and Kitch Lashata, Kitch Lashlovoi, if the original Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still there or is not still there, certainly since the halach is that nobody is allowed to walk in to the Beis HaMikdash area nowadays, so he says certainly guards should be placed there to make sure that nobody go where they're not supposed to. Upesach Hoyel Chil, and there was an opening to the Chil, which was part of the Azara, which was around near the Beis HaMikdash. Sheiloi, next was the gate of Shara Karbin, which Karbanos were brought there, through there. Shlishloi Beis HaMikid, that was where there was a fire. Betanya, we also learned in the Braisa, Chomesh Tfilis, Vasar Kedushim, Toiva Koyin Gadol, Umekadosh Barbi Yoyim. That the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur went to the mikveh 5 times and he had to wash his hands and feet from the kiyor 10 times. The Kulam B'Kodesh, all of these tefillahs took place in the Kodesh, in the mikveh that was in the Kodesh, Agag Beis HaParva, which was on the roof of the Beis HaParva, Chutz Mizu, except for the first tefillah on the day, Shehoisa B'Chol, that the mikveh that was used for the first tefillah of the day was not in an area that was Kodesh. It was in the mikveh that was a Gabi Shara Mayim that was on top of the water gate. And the Braisa continues telling us that this was near the chamber. However, we don't know which chamber is referring to, because we know that this mikveh was on top of the Shar HaMayim, and the Shar HaMayim, as we just finished learning, was on the south side. But when we say that the Kohen Gadol's Lishka, the Kohen Gadol's room, was near that mikveh, we don't know which of the two rooms the Kohen Gadol occupied does the Braisa mean. Does it mean the Lishka's Pahedrin? And from here we'll know that the Lishka's Pahedrin was on the south side? Or does it mean the Lishka's Beis Aftinus being on the south side? Vloyadana, we don't know. Ilishka's Pahedrin, Bitsofen, if the Lishka's Pahedrin was on the north side, Vlishka's Beis Aftinus, Bedoroin, or Lishkas Beis Aftinus B'tzofen, the Lishkas Beis Aftinus was on the north side, and then the Lishkas Pahedra would be on the south side. Says the Gemara, however, Mistabra, it makes sense to say the Lishkas Pahedra B'droim Havoy, that the Lishkas Pahedra was on the south side. My Tama, why would I want to say that? So the Gemara begins to analyze the schedule of the Kohen Gadol's day on Yom Kippur. Magnum Koi, or Mesaches Ragel V'Tovel. He would get up early in the morning, use the bathroom, and go to the mikveh. So as the Rishash explains, the purpose of our Gemara is not to teach us the Kohen Gadol's going to the bathroom. The point of our Gemara is that the halacha is that the Kohen, as he enters the Beis HaMikdash in the morning, had to go to the mikveh. The halacha also is that every time the kohen used the bathroom, he had to go to the mikvah. So what we purposely did was we told him to go use the facilities in the morning before he goes to the mikvah. So like that, he'll go to the mikvah afterwards and not have a concern that he's going to have to use the facilities and have to go again to the mikvah. So he got up in the morning, went to the mikvah, vazel tzofen, and then I would say the lishkas behedron where he slept was on the south side, and that's where he went to the mikvah. Then he would get up, then he would go to the north side, the gom chfina, to learn the avodah, how to do it in Ktaris. Vazel beis hamikdash, then he would go to the beis hamikdash, vavar avodah kol yoma, and he would do the avodah the entire day. Lebahadi panya, towards the evening, madulai, they would spritz on him the mechatis, for hada ozel dorm, then he would go to the south side to go to the mikveh, the tovel, and he would go to the mikveh v'naich, and then he would go to rest. So as the Mefarshim explained, we learned the Gemara in Daf Yodalad. The Rameya taught us that every day of these 7 days, the Kohen Gadol was sprinkled with the mechatis. Then we learned, Rabbi Kiva said, that a person who's really tar and is sprinkled with the mechatos becomes tameh. So the Kohen Gadol had to be sprinkled, but he became tameh. So the Gemara Daf Yudalar Rebbeis taught us that what we did was that we did the hazah on him at the end of the day after he finished doing all the avodah. Then he would go to the mikveh, have hair of shemesh, and the next morning he could begin doing the avodah again. Now, if that's why it makes sense that the mikveh that he's going to use at the end of the day was at the south side, and the base and the lishkas behedron would be right next there, so right after going to the mikveh, which he was obligated to do, he could go right away to sleep. The Migdash David points out that if the kohen became tamei, how is he allowed to be on the harabayis? It was saying that he has the status of a person who's tamei after the water sprinkled on him until he had hair of shemesh. So Midrash David answers two answers. One answer is that this is not such a high level of tumah that will disallow him from being on the harabayis. And another answer that he gives is that this is a special dispensation for the Kohen Gadol, who is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash compound all 7 days, that even though he had this level of tumah, he could stay in the Azara, stay in the Harabayas. The Amrit, says the Gemara, to complete its proof that the Lishkas Behedron was on the south side, the Amrit Lishkas Behedron B'tzofen, if you say the Lishkas Behedron was on the north side, Magdim Ukoye Mesev Raglov. That means he would get up in the morning, use the bathroom, vaz l'dorim, go to the south side where the mikveh was, the tovel, go to the mikveh because he just used the bathroom, and also before he enters the base of mikdash, he has to go to the mikveh. The gomach chafina, we learn chafina, vaz l'base of mikdash. Then he would come to the base of mikdash for avodah avodah kula yoma, do all days avodah, lahad the pan in madilei. Towards the evening, as we just explained, they would have to sprinkle on him the mechatis. Again, as we explained, after he had this water sprinkled on him, he became tamei, so he requires going to the mikveh. And then, since the mikveh was on the south side, I was saying that the Lishkas Behedron was on the north side, and that's where he slept, he would then have to walk again to the north side. And therefore, it's difficult to explain that the Lishkas Behedron was on the north side, because that would mean Umi Tarach Metruchina Lekulahai, is it proper to bother the Kohen Gadol to walk back and forth so much? So we seemingly have a proof that the Lishkas Behedron was on the south side. Farshim asked, how could the Kohen Gadol have slept in the Lishkas Behedron? The halacha is that Ein Yeshiva Bazara Ela Lamalche Beis David, that even sitting is prohibited in the Azara, only for Balkh Beis David, certainly the Kohen sleeping there. So I saw a few different answers. One answer I saw is that although the Lishkas Behedron was built in the Kodesh, since its opening was to the Chayil, not the area that's Kodesh, you're allowed to sit there, sleep there, or vice versa, it was built in an area which is Chayil, it was only open to a Kodesh, or third terrace, Again, since the Kohen Gadol has to be sequestered for 7 days before Yom Kippur, and it's impossible not to sit and sleep for all those days, that's why a special dispensation was made to allow him to sleep in the Lishkas Behedrin, even though it was in the Azara. Says the Gemara, you wanted to say that it must be that the Lishkas Behedrin was on the south side, because otherwise it would be a great bother for the Kohen going back to forth. Ask the Gemara, Lamaloi, why shouldn't we burn him? Lamaloi, Matrichin Leitfei, we should burn him, because as we've been learning, Deet Stoiki Hu, if Chas V'Shalom is a Stoiki, and it's such a bother, it's such a burden to be a Kohen Gadol, Lifrish, he'll resign from the position. Inami, Shloite Zuch Tatalov. We don't want the Kohen Gadol to become arrogant, and by making it difficult, that will prevent it from becoming arrogant. Dilai Temahachi, and I'll prove to you, says the Gemara, that we wanted to make things not so easy for the Kohen Gadol. Because if not, why not Navdinu Latavayu Bahadi Adodi? Why don't we make that the two chambers should be right next to each other? Or furthermore, Inami Tizgalei Bechada, why don't we just make one chamber where he sleeps and where he learns? It must be because we specifically want to burden him for the reasons just given. So we have no proof where the Lishkas Behedrin was. And in fact, the Rambam says that the Lishkas Behedrin was on the north side. And the reason being, says the Lechem Mishnah, because the Svara, the concept that our Gemara just introduced, that we want to make it difficult for the Kohen, is a correct Svara, and that's why it's in the, that's why we assume it was in the north side. As we finish this Sugya, there's a beautiful Vart for Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro says that the Gemara says that a roitz lahakim, somebody wants to become smart, yadrim, should go to the south side. V'simanech, because the simon is that the menorah was on the south side, which represents Torah Or. V'roitz lahashir, if somebody wants to become wealthy, yatspin, he should go to the north side. V'simanech, because the shulchan was on the north side. Says Meir Shapiro, the Kohen Gadol, this is a lesson to the Kohen Gadol, who's the manig of Klal Yisrael, the leader of Klal Yisrael. He has to worry both about the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, but also he has to be concerned about the gashmius of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he had shtei lishkos, he had two chambers, one in the south to represent the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, and one in the north to represent the gashmius of Klal Yisrael. So we learned in the Mishnah, from like Ishi Kohen Gadol, they said to him, our master, the Kohen Gadol, you, our messenger, and therefore we make a shvua that you should do the avoda properly. Says the Gemara, Leim to have it to Yufta Rav Huna Ber Yeshua. Should our Mishnah not be a refutation of what Rav Huna taught us? Dom Rav Huna Ber Yeshua. Hani kahani shluchad rechmana ninu. There's a machlaikis, a shailin shas many times, who is the Kohen considered an agent of? Is he considered an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shluchid Rechmona, or is he considered an agent of us? Says the Gemara, that although Rav Huna says that he's considered an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Gemara seems to prove that he's an agent of us. The Amrit Shluchid Donenu, the agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, Rav Huna says that he's an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Amrit Shluchid Donenu, for if you're going to say that he's considered our agent, Mi'ikamidi, the Nanloi Matsin Lamevid, is there anything that we are unable to do? Because only the Kohen could do that Avodah. Only the Kohen Gadol could do that Avodah Yom Kippurim. The Shluchid Don Matze Avdi. It must be that Rav Huna, who said that he's a shluch of Rechmana, says he's a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we can't appoint a shliach for something that we can't do ourselves. Yet our Mishnah seems to indicate that he indeed is our shliach, because the terminology of our Mishnah was that you are our shliach. Answered the Gemara, Hachi Kamerle. Our Mishnah meant to say, Mashbim Anu Alecha Adapein Vadas Bezdin. The Shvuah we make you have is that you should follow our understanding of the Shvuah. Because, as the Mefarshim explained, the Kohen Gadol, when we made him make a Shvuah that he's going to do the Avoida, specifically the Avoida of the Torah properly, might have had in his mind that he, the way he thinks to be properly. So when we make the shvu, we say, it's not your intention that's going to be followed, it's our intention that's going to be followed. But there is no proof if he's our shlich or their shlich. Or the shlich of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi explains, what is the difference if he's a shluch of the Don or shluch of the Rechmona? So Rashi says the halacha is that if somebody made a vow that someone else is not allowed to have hanor from him, is not allowed to have any benefit from him, and the halacha is that he can't, that if he's, and if he made that vow for a kohen, so if the kohen is shluch of the Rechmona, the kohen could do avoid on his behalf. But if he's shluch of the Don, he can't do avoid on our behalf. So the Mefarshim ask, the halacha is mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvahs aren't made for pleasure. And therefore the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that even if I said that I'm not going to have any benefit from a specific individual, if that person blows shofar, I could be mekayim the mitzvah. Because mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. So they ask, even if we'll say that the kohen is shluch to don, but what is the kohen doing here? The kohen's doing here a mitzvah, bringing a carbon. So that should be considered like mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. So the Mefarshim answer that the halacha of mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu, that I'm allowed to have a no, is only when I didn't specifically ask him to do the avoid on my behalf. But if I specifically asked him to do the avoid on my behalf, there, even though it's a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to have an or from him. And that would be the case here, where the person asked this kohen to do the avoida on his behalf. And same by shofar. Even though I'm allowed to hear the shofar from somebody, I'm not allowed to have an or from, but I cannot ask him specifically to blow the shofar on my behalf. The Machna Frayim asks, if we're saying that shlichus, as Rav Huna says, always has to be that my shlich can only do something that I myself can do. So he asked, the halacha is that if somebody, chas v'shalom, divorces his wife, the Torah says, v'kos avlo sefer krisus, he should write a divorce. Let's say somebody can't write, he isn't a cipher. He could appoint a cipher as a shliach to write the divorce on his behalf. But if we're saying now, ask the Machna Ephraim, that something that I can't do, a shlich can't do on my behalf, so if I can't be a cipher, I don't know how to write, how could I ask somebody else to be a cipher on my behalf? So the Machna Ephraim answers that when the Gemara says here that a shlich can only do something that the mishaleach can do, is only if the issue is an issue in din. If I'm Yisrael and I can't do the avoida, I can't appoint a shlich, a kohen, to do something on my behalf. But here the issue is not that I can't write a get, because I'm not allowed to write a get, because I'm not allowed to be a cipher. I am allowed to be a cipher. The issue only is a technical difficulty, that I don't know how to write. That is not a concern and a reason why why the cipher cannot be my shliach. So the Mishnah said, Hu parish ubaicha, after they made the kohen make that shvua, he would cry, v'hein parish ubaicha, and they would cry. Hu parish ubaicha, he cried because they accused him of being a tzdaiki. And they cried, whoever falsely accuses an innocent person will be stricken. Where do we find this concept? By Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael will not believe me. And the pasuk says, immediately his hand was kishalik. His hand turned mitzaras. His hand turned mitzaira because he accused Klal Yisrael falsely. And the Chasam Sofer explains, why is it that if somebody accuses somebody falsely, there's such a severe punishment? So he explains, normally, if somebody does an aveira, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do tshuva, he doesn't send a message by having the person himself hurt. He sends a message that the person's assets get hurt, and that should be a lesson. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is melamed zchus, that if the person realizes what he's doing is wrong, he'll do tshuva. But that zchus is only given to somebody who is a melamed zchus for other people. But this person is a choshi b'ksherim, he just accuses people innocently, and he is not a person who's melamed zchus, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give him this opportunity. The Tiferes Yisrael asks, why did they cry? If this is the process, as we've learned in the Mishnah, that every year they went through the Shvua, so this is what had to be done. So why is there crying? So the Sfas Emes says, they were crying because they were crying that Klal Yisrael came to such a situation that they had to be concerned that perhaps the Kohen Gadol is a stoiki. The Kokach Lama, and why we so concerned, Shlo Yisakim B'Mechutz V'Yachnes, because the stoikim used to say that the Torah should be prepared outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and ready then be brought in, Kederach Stoikim Oysen. There was a story once, Stoiki, that prepared the Torah outside for Hichnis. And then he brought it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But when he left, Hayasamech Simcha Gedali was very happy that he was able to bring the Torah like the Tzadokim say, not like the Purushim. Pogavai Aviv, he met his father, Amalai. Bani, my son, Abish Tzadokim Anu, even though we're indeed Tzadokim, Mesyarm Anu Meprushim, we're worried about the Purushim, and we shouldn't just ignore what they say. Amalai, so the son told the father, Koyamai Hayisi Mitzdar Al Mikrazeh, I was always troubled. I always wanted to understand this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki be'onen eruah l'kapiros." That means that Stoikim held that the incense, the smoke of the incense, should already be in place before he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I always said, the son, "Amarti masa yovel yodei v'kamena." When will be able to have the opportunity to do the avoda as I understand the pasuk? Achshav shebal yodai loikamena. Now that the opportunity came to me, I shouldn't do it. Amru. So the report was that loihoyu yom meatim. Didn't take a long time. At shemes, until he died, v'huto ba'ashpan, he was thrown in a trash heap. Vayitaloyim yoytz mechaytmai, and worms came out of his nose. So Rashi says, why out of his nose? Because the nose was the first of the limbs of the body. It protrudes from the face. It was the first of the limbs of the body that went into Kodesh HaKadoshim improperly, because the Torah shouldn't have been taken in and shouldn't have been prepared beforehand. So ask the Tosef Rishonim, it's not the nose that comes in first, it's the hands that come in first. So the Tosef Rishonim answers, so that's why the Tosef Rishonim says the reason he was stricken by the nose is because the nose smells, and the Torah is made for smelling purposes. So that's why it was the nose. How do we explain Rashi? So the Siach Yitzchak explains Rashi that although the hands came in before the nose, but not the entire hand did not come in before the entire nose. That means the front of the hand came in, then the entire nose, and then the rest of the hand. And that's why the nose was stricken. The Ben Yoyod explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send a message why this person was stricken. So it was specifically stricken by the nose, which is obvious that it is the sense of smell, which corresponds to the Torah. Had he been stricken with their hands, they might have attributed it for a different reason. And we wanted it to be clear what the reason he was stricken was for. As he was leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when he was hit. The Torah B'chia, Kimin Koyel Nishma Bazara, there was like a sound heard in the Azara, Shabba Malach V'choftei upon him. A Malach came and struck him on his face, V'nichnasu Echav HaKahanim, and his fellow Kahanim came in, V'matzoi K'kaf Regel Egel Beg Seifav, they found like the mark of a sole of a calf on his shoulders, and that is the way the feet of Malachim look. Shnem Regleim Regel Yishara, the feet are straight, V'kaf Regleim K'kaf Regel Egel, the soles of the feet look like the sole of the foot of a calf. So, the Tosfos Rishonim quotes Yerushalmi, that says that the halacha is that nobody's allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol goes in. Even a Malach. So how could have a Malach been there when this Kohen Gadol was doing that void in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So Tosfos Rishonim says that halacha only applies if the Kohen Gadol is doing that void properly. Here, he wasn't doing that void properly. He prepared the Torah before he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's why a Malach was allowed to be there. The Mashal explains that the Malach only came after this kohen left the kohen sakdashim. When is the halacha that he's not allowed to be in there? It's only when he's in the kohen sakdashim. But once the kohen god left the kohen sakdashim, the malach was allowed to go in and strike him. The Miri explains what is the significance that he looks like, that the feet look like an eagle. So he says the reason that Stoikim prepared the Ketoris in the Kodesh and then actually offered it in the Kodesh Kedoshim, it was a show of concept of duality, that there isn't only one God. He prepares the Ketoris in two stages. So that's why he was stricken like an eagle. That was the same mistake that Klal Yisrael made when they made the golden calf, that not only Hashem was our God, there was also the eagle. The Mefarshim explained why was he hit by the shoulders. So two explanations. One reason is because the shoulders are where the hands are, and the hands were used to prepare the Ketoris improperly. Another reason is that the Ketoris, when somebody's considered stubborn, he's called Kshei Oyrif, a stiff neck. This Stoiki was stubborn, that he had to bring the Ketoris the way he thought. That's why he was struck Ben Kseifov, which represents the attribute, or the characteristic, of being stubborn. The Ben Yoyada makes an interesting observation. He says, our Gemara is difficult to understand. First, the Gemara says that he was hit in the... He died in trash heap. And now the Gemara says that he was hit in the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? He says it's difficult to understand that there was a machlokes about a fact, about a historical fact. So he says what happened was that when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a malach hit him and affected him with a contagious disease. Then he was taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't yet dead, but because he was afflicted with a contagious disease, they did not want to leave him amongst other people, so they put him by the trash heap where people weren't, and there he ultimately died. Our Rebbe Chaim ben Kvutel, so we learned in the Mishnah, Rebbe Chaim ben Kvutel taught us that he said that many times he read to the Kohen Gadol from Daniel. Masmo Rav Chanan bar Rav Lechi bar Rav Kamei de Rav. Our Rebbe Zecharia, that the way to spell his name is Kvutel with a pei. Rav showed him he made a vase with his finger, that the proper way of spelling it is kfuto with a vase. Ask the Gemara Neimelei Meimer, why didn't he just tell him straight that the right way to spell it is with a vase? Answers the Gemara, Krishma Avakari. He was in the middle of saying Krishma, and while somebody's saying Krishma, he's not allowed to interrupt. Ask the Gemara for Kiyagavna Mishari, and to make sign during Krishma is permitted. He shouldn't signal with his eyes. He shouldn't mouth words with his lips. He shouldn't make gestures with his finger. Somebody reads Shema. And he makes with his eyes. Not me have you called Yaakov. Answers the Gemara, Loikasha. Habaparik Rishon, during the first chapter of Krishma, you're not allowed to do anything. Habaparik Sheni, here we're talking about the second chapter, then you're allowed to. And here, Rav was in the second chapter. The Mefarshim point out that the halacha in Masechta the Brachos that says that you have to have kavana by the first parak. So there's a machlokes, what does that mean? Does it mean the parak of Shema Yisrael, the sentence of Shema Yisrael, or does it mean Vahafta? Here it seems to be saying that it includes Vahafta. So they explain that even if we'll say that the requirement for Kavana is only by Shema, the din that we learned in our Gemara, that you're not allowed to do anything, make any gestures during Krishma, it certainly means, parak Rishon means during Vahafta. And actually, even during Vahayim Shemaya, the same halacha applies, unless there's a good reason to do it, like in our case where Rav wanted to correct him how to pronounce Rav Zechariah ben Kfutel's name properly. The Mefarshim point out, what's Pshat for Loi Oisi Karoso Yaakov? Why is somebody who doesn't say Krishna properly called Yaakov? So I saw two answers. One answer is that Yaakov Avinu is the model how Krishma should be said. Because it says that when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, and he met Yosef. So it says Yosef cried and Yaakov didn't. Ask Rashi, why wasn't Yaakov greeting Yosef? Because he was saying Krishma. So Yaakov is the model that while you're saying Krishma, you don't interrupt for anything, even to greet your son, your beloved son that you didn't see for 22 years. The Mashal explains this way. He says that Yaakov Avinu had two names. There's the name Yisrael and there's the name Yaakov. Yisrael is the more significant name. Says the Mashal, Pshat in the Gemara. When a Jew says Krishma properly, it's Shema Yisrael. He acts like a Yisrael. However, when a Jew doesn't say Krishma properly, he doesn't have the proper concentration, or he makes different gestures during saying Krishma, then it's Yaakov. He's on the lower level of Avodas Hashem. Torah Bonim, it says in Krishma, V'dibar t'bom, bom v'loy v'tfila. You speak of them, but not during davening. So there are many pshat in this Gemara. Rashi says that pshat is that you're allowed to speak out loud when you learn Torah. However, when you daven, you're supposed to daven quietly. Tosfos explains, as we learned in Masechta Brachos, that by Krishma, under certain circumstances, you could greet somebody or respond to a greeting. By Tefillah, you may never. Another pshat is that while somebody is learning Torah, he stops to say Krishma, but he does not stop to daven. And another pshat is that the Gemara is teaching us, as we learned in Masechta Brachos, that a person should not spend too much time in tefillah, because the Gemara says, "Menichin chaye olam haba." They leave Torah, which brings them to olam haba. Vayiskim b'chayishon. They speak about tefillah, what they need in this world. V'dibat bom, continues the Braisa, bom yesh l'cha rishus l'daber, you have a right to speak about Torah, v'loy b'dvar mechayim, nothing else. Rav Achama, v'dibat bom, aseos and kva, make the Torah what's important to you, the permanent part of your life, v'al tas marai, don't treat the Torah casually. The Gra says, v'dibat bom, Bom stands for Beis is Bereishis, which is the first letter of Torah Shebiksav, and Mem is Me'emesai, the first words of the first Mishnah, the first letter of the first word of the Mishnah Masechta Brachos, Me'emesai Karen Shema. For the Bar the Bom, a Jew is supposed to speak about Torah, Torah Shebiksav, and Torah Shebafeh, for Lloyd Varma Cherim. The B'nai Yisoscha says that that is what we learn from the first word of the Torah. The first word of the Torah is Bereishis, and it stands for Rosh Hashanah, Sicha B'teila, Osir, a person should not speak mundane matters, Rak Torah Yedaber, a person should only speak about Torah. The Birchus Shmuel asks that of course a person has to speak about Divrei Torah. Dvarim B'teilim, a person is supposed to learn all the time. So why does the Gemara have to teach us about Dvarim B'teilim being Osir? So the Birchus Shmuel says that there are two concepts. There's one concept of learning Torah, but there's another concept aside from the issue that a person is supposed to learn Torah. A person is supposed to separate himself from Dvarim B'teilim, and therefore, even if there's a time where a person can't learn or he's in a place where he's not allowed to learn Dvarim B'teilim, a person should refrain from, because Amar Rava Hasach Sichas Chulin, somebody who speaks stam trivial conversation, over basay, he's over nasay. Shnevadi bar to bomb, bomb veloy bedvar macherim. Rav Yaakov Aimer, over belav, shnema kod verim, kod varm yigayim, all words just tire out a person. La yuchel ush ladaber, a person should not speak all these other types of other things, because as the Mefarshim explain, only thing a person should speak about are things that bring him closer to Avodas Hashem.